The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We are halfway home on a Thursday afternoon, and the news keeps coming at us in buckets. Of course, last night, we heard about the Ivy League shutting down, and several colleges as well shutting down for the season, and in Ohio State and North Carolina shutting down temporarily because of test results. Already today, the Big Ten Conference has officially announced it will play a conference-only schedule. 10 conference games, and in the statement they say if we get the season underway overall. So there is some skepticism coming from the Big Ten. Meanwhile, there have been media reports all over the map this afternoon that the Pac-12 will go to a conference-only schedule. That will knock out the Alabama-SC game, among others, at the beginning of the season. Also, Ohio State and Oregon would be gone. Other reports say the ACC is considering the very same thing and will use Notre Dame as a conference member. As you know, Notre Dame is a conference member in all sports but football. The SEC has not spoken, although we played this earlier, and I want to play it one more time. For those of you who are just joining us, this is Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, last night on Freddie and Fitzsimmons.
I want to be optimistic, but the reality is publicly, I mean, we have to discipline ourselves to remain healthy as a culture. And that relates to some of the behaviors we've seen that have caused the spread to accelerate. And I've been optimistic, but I'm prepared that optimism is not reality. And what I'm concerned about is that reality has been changing and has caused me to not be as optimistic as I may have been 30 days ago. But throughout it all, we've been preparing and planning and thinking about what pivots we may have to make. And those are the important decisions over the next, you know, 3, 4, 5 weeks that are going to be in front of us, given what's happening in the public health domain.
Greg Sankey on where the SEC is and pretty much where everyone is right now. Let's go to the call. Steve is up next. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, buddy?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Great. Yeah, just staying safe. And I'm listening to Booger and everybody talk. It just seems to me that it's a thing of perspective. That if the bar is set to zero infections, then it ain't going to happen. I mean, we're not going to have a season. We're not going to have a season next year, because I just don't see this going away, period. I mean, and as far as health is concerned, what's healthy? If you're healthy, if you consider healthy, you get it, you test positive for it, but you don't have any symptoms, is that healthy? Or, I mean, you know, I get a upper respiratory infection probably once every 2 years. I have to go to the doctor, and
sure,
you know, that's just going to happen. And I sort of see this as, you know, that's not going away. This is not going away. So I don't know. I'm pretty pessimistic about a season happening. I don't know. I just wanted to get your thoughts.
Yeah, I am too. And it's impossible not to be, And this isn't something that just happened yesterday and today. This has been building, but I think all the conference commissioners and all the leaders are pointing toward the very same thing.
Do you think it is the bar is set for zero infections?
No, I don't. Not at all. I don't think that's. I think it's a matter of doing it without uncontrollable outbreaks.
Well, I guess they could. You know, people can. You can either kill your life or risk infection, you know. And if you do away with all activities and stuff like that, like, I mean, you know, your job is connected to Southeastern Conference sports and all these coaches and all the assistants and graduate assistants and those kinds of, you know, those folks.
But you know what it is right now, Steve? All of what you said is accurate. But what's happening now, and everyone wanted to say yesterday wasn't important, but yesterday set off a chain of events when the Ivy League made the announcement. And it created this mushroom cloud over college football, and today you're getting reaction, and you're going to get more reaction, and now there's a little bit of panic going on. And this is what you don't want. You want conference leaders to make sound decisions based on what's best for them. Unfortunately, you start seeing a domino effect. And this is the one thing that I think a lot of people have been worried about inside the college football bubble, that somebody would say we're done, and it would set off a chain of command. And right now, we don't really know, even within the SEC footprint. Do we know for a fact that all 14 schools will play if they can? I don't know that. Maybe the commissioner does, but maybe he doesn't. And maybe nobody knows right now. Let's continue with more calls. And George is up next in North Carolina.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
As crazy as this sounds, I almost think that if we do not have a college football season nor an NFL season, I think it would be of great benefit to both of those the college football and NFL. Here's why I say that. I think the way that the players and coaches have politicized, made these games politicized, college football and the NFL. If anybody in the country is like me, the first game that I turn on the television and I see a knee hit the ground during the national anthem, I'm turning it off. And my feeling is I would hope that anybody in the stands who sees that first knee hit the ground, they also would leave the stands. And I really don't like the fact that players, and it sounds like even some coaches now, if we do have any kind of season, they're going to use the platform that we give them to entertain us to make political statements. And I don't watch football to get political statements. I watch football because I love the game. So I almost think it would be better off for college football and NFL if they don't have one.
On political statements, I was watching a soccer match last night, and that was the very first thing I saw. You know what I'm about to say, George. That's what you're going to see, like it or not. And that doesn't. I'm just telling you the way it is.
Well, I hope that wouldn't be the case. I hope that some mature people, coaches, would take the opportunity to tell these kids and adults in the NFL how truly blessed they are to live in this country. And yes, we're not perfect, but there are more opportunities for people who apply themselves and do what's right, live good lives, and try to help each other. There's more opportunity in this country than anywhere else in the world. And I hope that could be taught instead of using that platform to disrespect our country and those who died to have the freedoms that we have. I don't know. Football's entertainment. I'm sorry. That's all it is. We can live without football. I love it. I don't want it to go away, but I don't want to see it politicized either. And maybe they shouldn't even have a national anthem in front of these games, if that's what it's going to come down to. And I would hate to see that.
That may be a better question to answer. I appreciate what you said. Hope you get your wish. Let's check in with Jason in Indiana. Hello, Jason.
Oh, hello, Paul. I was going to call up to talk about the Big Ten and everything, but I got kind of a little sidetracked and everything. So conference schedule is only in the SEC possibilities. So you can't play LSU Texas, but you can play LSU Texas A&M?
good point.
But that being said, I mean, you and me talked about this yesterday. We knew this direction was coming. But what people don't realize is that everybody was like, well, the Ivy League means nothing. Well, a lot of these presidents have doctorates from the Ivy League.
They sure do.
So obviously they're listening to them. I knew this was coming. The inevitable is on its way. And
I thought the backlash yesterday, the who cares about the Ivy League, was not right. I think the Ivy League statement set all this off.
Oh yeah, no doubt about that. I mean, this goes all the way back to March. I mean, everybody's described the COVID days as Groundhog Day. Well, we're going back to March again. This is Groundhog Day all over again. The Ivy League makes a decision, and the rest of the leagues follow.
Yeah, and yeah, I don't know what I started hearing early this morning that the Big Ten was thinking about that, and I'm like, going, why do they need to announce that today? Other than they knew they would be other than they knew they would be the first. What's that?
They're delaying the inevitable. You know that as well as I do.
No, I think you're right. I do know that. I don't. I mean, right now, I think it's these are things that we've that everyone has tried to talk their way out of for a number of weeks. And you know, I mean, we're just all the qualifiers. I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm hopeful. Blah blah blah. It's all blown up on them now.
Anything before the bud is BS. That just remember that. Oh, everything's going to be great. But
yeah, I mean, it's only July 9th. I mean, we still have. We may not get to the end of the month before some of this is settled. Hey, thank you for the call again. Just I realize some of you are getting out of work, getting in your car, getting wherever you are. But it has been quite a 24 hours, starting with the Ivy yesterday. The Big Ten made the big announcement today. They are playing conference only games. Nobody else has commented, but. There have been reports about the ACC, reports about the Pac-12. The SEC has not commented, nor has the Big 12. But if two or three conferences are not playing conference are playing conference only, what does that mean? There will be a domino. So it's been a huge day. Another tumultuous afternoon in college football. We will take your phone calls continuing, and also welcome in Matt Berry coming up here in a minute, right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
So the dominoes continue to fall. What does it all mean? Matt Berry, the SportsCenter anchor and also a college football host of Final on the weekends and the games all day long. Great to welcome Matt back to the program. Matt, we were talking earlier off the air, and at that point it had just been a tumultuous 20 hours. Now it's been a tumultuous 26. It doesn't seem like this is ever going to end, although we both know at some point we have to determine which way it's going. How are you doing, by the way?
Well, good, Paul. I'm good. I'm with you. We kind of sit around and we do what we can with this time to get an idea of where we're going to be and what we're going to be doing in the next 8 weeks. But I'm one of those that, with the Big Ten decision today, we've seen this in college sports and pro sports. It's always a game of follow the leader, right? You had it happen with the conference basketball tournaments in mid-March. Each one. You know, each conference hung on a little longer until they could, and all of a sudden here we are canceling the NCAA tournament. So I think you're going to see that with college football. Big Ten was first, with all due respect to the Ivy League, with the Power Fives, and now, you know, we'll see some of these other leagues probably follow suit.
And Matt, I mean, we've been talking about what it means to the season, whether we play or not, but even if we have a season right now, think about the damage and the carnage that has already been done. All those you've done a lot of MAC games in your career. All those MAC schools that play Big Ten schools, the Oregon game. I mean, which is not as big a deal, but those smaller schools need those games, and now they don't have them.
Yeah, you know, one of the big conversation points around the sport is the economic engine that is college football. People just look at that. With the big programs, right? The Ohio States, the Texases, the Alabamas, the LSUs, these programs that are really the economic engine of their school. But you hit on it. There are small schools
that play these big time schools to fund close to a quarter of their athletic budget for the year. It's a paycheck game. Everybody wants to know why these, you know, Alabama's playing some of these schools they shouldn't. Well, the other school gets a pretty good paycheck out of it. So that goes out if we do an all conference schedule. And so there's a number of casualties here. I know Wisconsin Notre Dame at Lambeau Field was a game I was looking forward to watching. There's a, I think Michigan was traveling to go play Oregon or Washington. I think we're playing Washington. That was a good game I was looking forward to seeing. So the fact that that's not going to happen isn't good. But I also, I'm one of those that thinks that this conference only announcement is a good sign for college football. What comes out of it throughout the rest of the next couple of weeks remains to be seen.
Yeah, I mean, talking about games, I mean, just in the first month of the season, we had Michigan at Washington, Ohio State, Oregon, Iowa State, Iowa, Penn State at Virginia Tech, App State, Wisconsin, Miami, Michigan State, Cincinnati, Nebraska, and Wisconsin, Notre Dame at Lambeau. And I mean, those are some really huge games. I didn't miss what you just said. It was pretty interesting. Explain what good can come out of this. What do you mean?
All right. So I believe that conferences and college football administrators and everybody wants to get the season in. So if you are a Power Five league and you eliminate a non-conference portion of your schedule, I think the Big Ten was looking at a 10-game season with just conference-only opponents. If you take that, you eliminate two games off your schedule, and you eliminate one of the bye weeks, for all intents and purposes, that shortens the schedule by almost a month. And so if universities and everybody's looking for a way to condense the season to keep people safe and perhaps get it done before we see a potential second wave of the coronavirus mixed in with flu season and cold season, perhaps this is a way to lop off close to a month of the season if you have to start late or if you have to end early by shortening the schedule a little bit to get it condensed to get it in.
It's a good point, and I want to stop there because, you know, we're talking. I mean, there's so many elements to the college football season. It's the late August to Thanksgiving element, and then of course the conference games. And guess what? There's also the bowl season. You host a number of those shows. You know, I mean, what kind of condition is the bowl season in right now, other than maybe on life support?
All right. So when this news came out, I kind of college football nerded out, and I got out a piece of paper and was trying to write down how you could make this all work. And, you know, we talk about this all the time. I mean, there's after conference championship weekend, which is notoriously the first weekend in December, when's the next time we see the college football playoff teams? We don't see them till the end of December. You've got the New Year's Six game, which are played on New Year's Day. And so you have there, again, another built-in month of nothing. And so, unfortunately, I would probably assume there would be some casualties with some of the smaller bowl games. But if you take that few weeks off that you have in between even some of the mid-tier bowl games, tend to start around December 18th and 20th, Holiday Bowl, things like that. If you just keep backing all of this up and really just smash the calendar together, I believe that you could probably get the playoff, most of the bowl games, and a national championship wrapped up before the turn of the year. And then you've got everybody off campus by mid to end of December. You really wait for this wave of COVID and cold and flu season through the winter months, and then hope by then the science and the vaccine is caught up, and then we can go about things normally in 2021. But if you take the time that you have and smash it all together without as much time off, I really believe you can make it work.
Okay, and for what if it doesn't happen, Matt? And right now, it's not like we're making the decision. Okay, we probably should though.
I was going to say, don't put it past us.
Yeah. What do you make out of the spring model that has been knocked around?
All right. So I've thought long about this as well. There are two thoughts to this. One, there is no way that the NFL is going to accommodate a move schedule for things such as their annual draft OTAs, mini camps, training camps, et cetera, that rookies are going to play in. So you're going to just, let's just take that right there. So now what you have is you have every Power 5 school and some of the smaller, bigger FCS schools, any player, I'm not talking just the stars, the Trevor Lawrences and the Justin Fields, these dominant athletes. I'm talking anyone who has potential to be drafted in the NFL draft will automatically sit out the season because agents are going to get in their ear and say, hey, look, there's no way you could play potentially 30 games in a calendar year. Physically, you can't handle that. So don't risk it by playing in a spring college football season. So let's just say that's an average of 8 players in some of the bigger good schools and 5 players in some of the smaller tier Power 5 programs. What that does then, if you want to be positive about it, there is going to be parity across the country because the programs like LSU that were stacked with NFL players, they're not going to play. And so it brings the playing field in a little bit more. Having said that, then you've got to think about it if you're a college from that perspective. When are we going to start this season? Playing football in January, the first month of January and February in Columbus and Ann Arbor doesn't sound like a lot of fun. And, oh, by the way, still cold and flu season. And number two, are you going to wrap up bowl games in May, or the playoff in May, and then all of a sudden give them June and July off and wrap up and then all of a sudden be back in camp by August? People keep throwing this spring idea out like it's a legitimate idea, but if you really break it down from just the first perspective I gave you with NFL and then the second hurdle, which is college, I don't know what sense it makes.
You are not alone in that. Not at all. In your, I want to go back to it because you've given us some optimism here in a rather bleak day. Did you say you thought we could get the college football playoff in earlier? Is that correct?
I believe that if you schedule it and you go no bye week and you play your conference games, you play a conference schedule, 10 games. Let's just do this hypothetically here and look at a calendar. So if you play, let's just say you get on the field. We know that ACC is not starting before September 1st. I don't really know how big of a deal that is in terms of delaying it a week. So let's just say you get in. Let's go. September 12th is the first Saturday, okay? So if you go 10 weeks, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, that puts you on Halloween weekend, even November, the first weekend of November. Paul, that gives you pretty much all of November to play with and the beginning part of December to play with to get in bowl games, playoff, and national championship to where you could theoretically, if you went by this calendar, be done by Christmas.
You solved the problem. That's why you're one of the faces of college football, Matt.
Thank you. All right, well, let me recount just to make sure I've got those dates right. So 12. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, I missed it by a week or 2 weeks. So that would take you, the 10-week schedule would take you the second week of November. If the following week you started bowl games, et cetera, you probably have to lop off the conference championships, you could still be done by Christmas.
I feel better.
There you go. Let's put that on paper. Let's submit it to the powers that be, and they'll have to name one of the playoff games after you and I.
Well done. Matt, always great to talk to you. Thank you. Come back soon.
Yeah, Paul, always a pleasure. Take care.
Matt Berry joining us. We'll take a break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back as we continue. Let's check in with Chris in San Antonio. Hello, Chris.
How you doing, sir? Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
A comment
that was made by the Ivy League when she mentioned travel. I believe that's the biggest issue, whether it's conference or not. I live in San Antonio, work in Alabama, and at one point Texas had closed their border
right.
to the cities of Atlanta, Miami, New Orleans, Chicago, and Detroit, and the actual states of Louisiana and California, New York, New Jersey. So even conference games, I think, are going to be an issue as long as, you know, the governors and the mayors are doing what they believe is best for their, you know, location.
No, I think you're right. And yeah, I was thinking about that. Normally, in a given season, I travel a lot to the East Coast, and one of the states is Connecticut, where I could not get in right now unless I quarantined.
Well, I got off the plane in San and I traveled from Alabama to Atlanta, and Atlanta's on the list. So when I fly in, there's agents that meet you at the gate, make you fill out a paper. It's 180 days in jail or $1,000 fine, something. I don't remember all what it's on there. But you have to quarantine for 14 days or the length of your visit. So I'm going home to see my family, and then I turn around and leave. But I have to quarantine those 4 days that I'm home. And so colleges can't do that. They can't pack everybody up and, you know, quarantine them.
Hey, thank you very much for the call. Let's continue with Jeff up in Big Ten country. Hello, Jeff.
How you doing, Paul?
Jeff, we are doing okay. How about you?
Pretty good. This news is breaking fast and furious, isn't it?
That is correct.
I think the next announcement that's going to come out of these conferences is going to be division-only games. I'm hearing there's a good chance they don't even want these athletes traveling to the Western Division in the Big Ten.
That's interesting.
And it might be, get this, if they play home and away with, like, home and away against Penn State, Michigan, Michigan State. Don't be surprised. That's the next thing, because if they're going to travel at all, this Oregon game was never going to happen from the get-go. I mean, there was no way they're going to put a bunch of these guys on an airplane for a overnight flight and back. I mean, that's no surprise.
I agree. And if you may remember, I said about 2 months ago, I thought the Alabama SC game was off the board, and both athletic directors came after me.
Exactly. But don't be surprised, Paul. The last straw is going to be division-only games, home and away, and I think that's going to be in all conferences. That's what I'm hearing up here is a strong possibility. Is going to be the possible next and final move to save college football season. I mean, you think that's possible? I think it has some little bit of
I am to the point now where I think they are doing. They will do anything they can to preserve the season. It's that important. However
right.
it looks. I mean, I heard a plan 2 months ago that had that was similar to what you said, and it had divisional teams playing each other, not twice, but some people playing each other twice.
Yeah, I think home and away. I really think that's going to happen, almost like kind of like basketball does. You know what I mean? But hey, I have to comment. I'm feeling pretty lively after I heard my guys Squirrel and Jim call in yesterday. Give me some props, Paul. I mean, for a Yankee from those two guys, I mean, they've given me some props. I mean, they might be one of the top callers out. I mean, obviously Jim from Tuscaloosa's always got the top shelf, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, we don't use that Yankee phrase anymore. That's been taken out of the lexicon.
Oh, that's been removed.
Yeah, we went into the file. Remember that show we did about we don't want any more Yankees calling in? We've expunged that.
Okay. That makes you feel good. I don't have to worry about being belittled as a Yankee anymore.
That's the old show. That show doesn't exist anymore.
Okay. All right. Man, because I always wondered really why it was so degrading being called a Yankee. Nobody could ever explain it to me. But anyway, hey, I mean, I'm just glad. This has been a great week for your show, though, Paul. I mean, you and Jim are getting that back and forth like you had back in the day, man. It's good to hear.
We've offered him a job as to host the show for an hour a day if he could work it into his schedule from going out in town and getting into squabbles with people without masks.
Oh, I know, man. It'd be electric. I know that. Whether or not people agree, it would be exciting and fast and furious if Jim got behind the wheel. There is no doubt about it.
No,
hey,
what did Herbie say
yesterday? I've heard people comment about something that Herbie said. I haven't heard it myself. Can you explain that?
No. We were just talking about when he said what he did early on. I have not talked to Herbie in a while.
Okay. Because to me, obviously, Kirk's got the biggest platform of anybody, I think, in college football with the play-by-play and the game platform.
No doubt.
But let's be honest. I told you this when he came out earlier. Let's not forget he's also now a college football parent.
You're right.
And that's carrying a lot of weight to me, because I think that's what scares me more than anything. If we even start a season, will the parents and people like that allow their kids to be put in positions that may not be, comfortable to them, because they're going to be protective, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I mean, a parent is always going to look at something differently than a fan.
Exactly. So that's, I like you said, this whole thing's got so many different angles to it. But yeah, like I said, don't be surprised if we start hearing home and away matchups within the division, within a conference. I think if there is any college football, it's going to be that route, because they don't want kids getting on any airplanes. And these conferences are so spread out. I mean, you play an East Division versus a West Division, like Ohio State going to Nebraska. I mean, you might as well go to Oregon if you're going to go to Nebraska.
Well, you're pretty much there. Hey, thanks, Jeff. Great to have you on. Good to have you on. Another break coming up here in a minute. Well, actually, right now. More of your calls after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
We mentioned the announcement today by the Big Ten. Very busy day in intercollegiate athletics. And the commissioner of the Big Ten, Kevin Warren, who was formerly the president of the Minnesota Vikings, did an interview recently, a couple of minutes ago, with the Big Ten Network, and he said, this is not a fait accompli that we're going to have sports in the fall. We may not have sports in the fall. We may not have a college football season. That's some of the most honest and realistic comments I have heard any person in intercollegiate athletics speak of since all began. I think you correlate that to what the announcement of his league was. Certainly it was a positive step to try to save the season, but he made it very clear it is not written in stone. We are continuing with your phone calls, and Augie is up next. Hello, Augie.
Hey, Paul. That was a very astute, cultivated, compelling, lucid, thoughtful, erudite, insightful comment by Jeff from Columbus.
It was.
I just say that to get out of the way. I totally don't believe that. I mean, can you imagine LSU having to play Alabama twice in a season? Can you imagine we go to Tuscaloosa and beat them? And then we have to turn around and beat them again in the BCS championship. Has that ever happened before? That would never happen in the real world. That's what's called the Alabama rule. We play you till we beat you. And, yeah, okay, I said it, and that's absolutely the case. That's one of the reasons why I really just do not like Alabama. But anyway, I think Herbie is going to be proven right. And he said that when back in, was it April?
March.
I think it was
March.
It was March? Wow. Yeah. I think he's going to be proven right. I don't think we're going to have a college football season. And when you really think about it, and again, I love college football. I'm not somebody who's trying to tear it down. Absolutely not the case. But what gives college football the right to think they're more important than the rest of society? I mean, places have closed down. People have lost their jobs. Lives are being lost. You yourself said, made a comment that, well, the death rate's not going up, so that's a good thing. When did you ever think in your life you would even bring up death rates in relation to playing college football season? Have you ever thought about that?
No, and that is being used as a wedge argument by those who think this thing is getting better.
It's absolutely not. I mean, it's like we're talking about Vietnam and body counts. Well, the body count's low, so it should be okay. Well, there's so many things going on with this virus that people are still trying to figure out what are the long-term effects for people who even recover. In fact, some are saying their immune systems may be compromised for the rest of their lives. So even if you don't die, it's not a good thing. And I think we just need to just spot this football season. And if they play it in the spring, which I don't see how they're going to do. I mean, can you imagine we're going to have an LSU baseball game early Saturday, and then you can walk over to Tiger Stadium and watch us play. I don't know. Who are we going to play, Tulane? I mean, this is the opportunity for Tulane to get back into the picture and become relevant. But I've got to give props to Heather Denich. Of all of the college analysts, I think she has been one of the best, not just because of this pandemic, but before. She is very insightful, lucid, and thoughtful in her analysis. What do you think about her in terms of, especially when it comes down to the BCS predictions of who's getting in, who's on the bubble? She's always been spot on, and her reasoning and analysis has always been great. So I think she's one of the best people out there. So I think you need to have her more often. And how's our friend, the Archbishop, doing these days? Haven't heard anything about him.
He's doing great. I talked to him about 2 weeks ago. They're finally able to get out a little bit in Rome, and he is unable to travel still, but he's doing considerably better than he was in March.
Well, you tell him that there are a lot of people who think he's still your best Feinbaum guest. Thanks, Paul.
I agree. Thank you. Thank you very much. Great to have you on. John is up next. Hey, John. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
What if we, worst case scenario, we don't have a season and it goes in the spring and we don't, then what would the seniors do? There's only 4 years of college football.
I think they would be given the opportunity to come back if they want. It would be confusing and cluttered a little bit, but I think they would have that shot.
Okay, thanks for taking my call, and War Eagle.
Thank you. Nice of you to call. Brock is up next. Hey, Brock. Thanks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you doing?
I am doing great.
So I have a question about this division, or someone mentioned division stuff, just division against division opponent. That wouldn't work in the SEC because you'd have Missouri having to go all the way to Florida and South Carolina or vice versa. And I don't see how conference only or even division only is better than just playing a game.
I think you're right. And by the way, proximity would be taken into consideration, but it's not going to be the only thing.
And I have one more question. I'm a university. And the way this is going to affect Troy's football team is vastly different than Alabama, Auburn, LSU, all these Power 5 schools, because even if it gets to be played and it's non-conference, and if non-conference games are gone, to Troy, you know, we played LSU, we played Nebraska, Missouri, we got NC State and Tennessee this year. Troy gets money to play those schools. And if we can't do that and we can't have fans in the stadium, I don't know how that's going to work with the financial side of football teams like Troy, like Sun Belt teams, even American.
Well, they're all, I mean, you know, they're all going to be affected. Like the MAC. The MAC had 11 games against the Big Ten this year. I mean, that's a wipeout. I mean, those games are $1.5 million, $2 million games, and those games, all those games supply, you know, that I mean, the problems for college football got worse today, not better. I mean, we may have a season, but a lot of programs are going to go under. We'll take a break.